Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 57.
This week on the podcast, The Witch is Dead, which leads us to our most insensitive rest in peace yet.
The bipartisan gun control bill clears its first hurdle, might trip on the second, and probably wouldn't win a race in effectiveness anyway.
And we've got Watergate, the Kentucky edition.
The Republicans plan to save business by continuing to let women go penniless.
And Elizabeth Warren's brilliance still doesn't annoy us like such perfection usually would.
Plus, we've got douchebags, carpet bagging, baggy pants, and bad choices you can make on Twitter.
All this and more, and don't forget to follow us on the very same Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live.
Well, Brent and I are going to become professional sound engineers when this podcast doesn't go anywhere.
And if you've been listening to all 56 prior weeks of this, it may surprise you to learn that we're going to go into sound engineering. Because it's been brought to our attention that you oftentimes can't hear the podcast.
Right. However, we told you last week we got a new microphone.
Fancy new
didn't really have a chance to test it last week.
So we tested it.
Extensively
for like 10 minutes in a very frantic sort of way that may not have necessarily led to the right answer, but we found something that we're sticking to for now.
And here's what we know. One thing that we have tried a lot of things, and this is the best of all the things that we've tried. Sound good.
We've tried every GarageBand voice effect.
It may not surprise you that we're just using GarageBand voice effect.
We have tried the gain up and down, not knowing what the gain is.
Still don't know. We were going to Google it. Forgot.
Anyway.
Yeah. I blame my ice skating injury.
Yes.
I got a terrible pinky injury ice skating.
And it's sort of gross.
It's gross looking.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how I got it. Lacing up my ice skates. It was not like a cut made by cutting material. You know that ice skating involves blades.
Right.
I just got those sharpened. Didn't cut me once. Been cut free. The blades are just cutting the ice like they're supposed to. I was lacing up my new skates. They're very stiff because they're new. You have to break in new skates. Mm-hmm. And sustained a terrible pinky sort of like...
Laceration.
The equivalent of like what a shoelace could do in the rug burn category, basically.
Sure, yeah.
So, and it's gross. It's terrifying.
It was
much worse before.
Yeah.
This is it looking pretty great. And it looks terrible, and I can't bend my pinky. So this is what it's like to be handicapped.
When you told me about your ice skating injury, I was like, did you tear an ACL? Or did you, like, what happened? No.
I found myself today in ballet class lying about the source of my knee injury because I felt, for some reason, like I didn't want to tell the teacher that it had been a ballet injury. So I told her that it was from ice skating just because I thought that looked more hardcore.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely from taking too many ballet classes as an untrained dancer.
You're falling apart.
Well, I take too much ballet and ice skating. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm just living out my 5-year-old girl fantasy life as we speak. In any case, we're starting with an international story.
Yeah.
It's not like international news in the way that like a bombing in Jordan would be.
Or like a fake war in North Korea would be.
A fake war in North Korea would be. That sort of thing. And apparently they're doing that nuclear test this week, if they're doing it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that because we don't care. What we do care about is that Margaret Thatcher died.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting time for the internet because it's really the first time in my lifetime that someone who had a huge impact on all of our lives, who was patently evil, died, and we all had to figure out how respectful to be.
Exactly.
And there were a lot of, I saw a lot of Facebook posts from people of varying degrees of closeness to Britain, some of whom were like, oh, you always have to be respectful when someone dies, and other people who were like, you don't have to be respectful when someone like Margaret Thatcher dies. I'm sort of in the latter school. I'm sort of like, if you're someone who's like set an economic precedent that's basically destroyed everything for everyone, I'm not necessarily going to throw a party because you died because I don't have the energy to deal with that.
Right.
But I'm not going to honor your memory. I mean, we're about to honor her memory, but it's a bad one.
Right. Well, and I feel like a lot of people were sort of taking the angle of just sort of like, you know, she broke barriers for women sort of like situation.
There was a lot of that going around. But like to people that have ruined lives for everyone else.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like Condoleezza Rice breaking barriers. And it's like, great that she broke some barriers, but she was patently evil. So sorry.
Yep.
And Margaret Thatcher probably in certain ways set women back extensively because it made women look like psychotic bitches. And here's the thing.
She was hyper-conservative.
She was hyper-conservative. That's often the first women that break barriers are always ultra-conservative.
Right.
Because that, for some reason, is just how life works. But it makes someone like Hillary Clinton follow that mold into politics because that's the mold is of being a psychotic bitch. Hillary Clinton, who's a lovely woman, even though we hate her for other for political reasons, comes across as a psychotic bitch when she campaigns. Part of that is modeled on this sort of Thatcher persona that she took on. And that's not necessarily doing women any favors because I can't think of a woman who's been ultra powerful the way that Margaret Thatcher was who has not seemed like a psychotic person. You know, like someone like Kristen Gillibrand follows in a different school of womandom. But she's also sort of someone who kind of fell into it. She's not someone who had sort of like a clear agenda to power. And she's not in that much power. She's in a medium amount of power. But someone like Hillary Clinton is a good example of what happens when Margaret Thatcher is who breaks barriers for you.
Yeah.
I learned something, though, from her obituary, which is that the nickname Iron Lady, which is what we all called her, possibly more so because of that Meryl Streep film than anything else.
Right.
Was given to her by a Soviet army newspaper.
That's
and
good.
She liked it. So she kept it. She was famously anti-Soviet and famously buddy with Ronald Reagan, which is why we hate her.
Right. Well, she was also famously anti-union, which is another reason we hate her.
She was famously sort of like against everything that we love and for everything that's evil. She was sort of, you know, she was the prime minister in Britain for 11 years. She presided over the fall of the Berlin Wall and sort of a period of great change on the Cold War front. But she is mostly remembered in Britain and abroad by like regular people, I think, for being sort of like patently evil. And she kind of branded this Thatcherism thing that is basically just privatizing everything and then not caring when people don't have access to services. That's what Thatcherism is. It's like a more extreme version of the American dream rhetoric that we always use in the US.
Sure. Yeah.
But she really she went full throttle on it. She basically privatized like the entire fucking country.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I took this class in college that was about social welfare and the politics that go along with social programs. And they compared the National Health Service in Britain to Social Security in the U.S. as basically a program that, like, is so popular that people just won't let you touch it. And the big sort of argument was that Margaret Thatcher could not destroy the NHS. And if Margaret Thatcher couldn't destroy the NHS, then George Bush couldn't destroy Social Security because people just wouldn't let it happen.
We're going to let Obama do that.
Exactly. Right. A Democrat has to do it.
Right.
But that's the program that Thatcher couldn't destroy, and it's because it's so wildly popular in Britain that even when it doesn't function, and which she went out of her way, I'm sure, you know, the conservative government at that time went out of their way to install a lot of deficiencies into the system.
Yeah.
But she couldn't get rid of the NHS because people like the NHS. She did get rid of basically everything else, though. She privatized, like, gas, oil, steel, telephones, airports. British Airways was privatized under her, electricity, water, which anytime I hear about anyone privatizing energy, all I can think about is the rolling blackouts in California from the days of yore.
Yeah, sure.
Because that was when you privatize and then deregulate these industries, they don't really become cheaper for everyone. And that's the reason you do it. It's supposedly it'll get cheaper and more efficient. It doesn't get cheaper or more efficient. It instills a level of like, sort of unpredictability to the markets surrounding them. And these are all things that people need.
Yep.
Like, you can't just, like, kind of hope that telephones work out. Like, people need telephones. Like, you can't hope that everyone has access to gas.
Yeah.
People need gas. So when it stops being accessible to certain people, because private industries are about making money. They're not about providing broad access to things. So anyway, she also, apparently a lot of people bought homes, though, under her.
Great.
A lot of people also invested in the stock market there under her, which is one of the things that we're up to here that always makes me suspicious.
A lot of people also lost jobs.
Yeah, a lot of people lost jobs. Yeah, unemployment doubled under her. And hit a rate that it really hadn't been in since the Great Depression, which is a famous sort of like Reagan era issue that all of that conservative sweep of politicians faced.
Yeah.
But also, it sort of created a sharper economic division between the North and the South, partially because she destroyed the mining sector in Britain. Like, she, the miners, the coal miners there struck for like a year under her, and she won. And it basically destroyed the entire sector. So there was like an entire region of the country that just like didn't have jobs anymore because their the economic sector that had been supporting the entire area disappeared.
Well, she hated unions.
She hated unions.
Big time.
Like, she was no friend of unions.
No.
Which, I mean, she hated unions in a way that I think seems less extreme when you're from the U.S. and you're from a nation that also hates unions. If you were French, can you imagine how pissed you would be about this?
I know.
Like, if you were from a country where everyone's in a union, wouldn't that be, like, the most extreme thing that you could think of?
Yeah.
Because more so than the U.S., Europe is sort of, like, run by unions.
Unionized, yeah.
So I can't even imagine. But there were, like, riots under her. She lost power because there was a riot in Trafalgar Square. I can never say that right.
And I'm not going to... It's tricky.
British people are up to so much nonsense in their spelling and their words. but there was a riot...
Should learn to speak American.
They should learn to speak American.
They should.
There was a riot that basically forced her to step down from running for prime minister again. And that was what finally got her out. But there was also big issues with Northern Ireland under her watch. She went to war with Argentina, a very unpopular war where Britain just sort of like mysteriously sent a bunch of people. And I think they lost like 200 and some odd people going to war with Argentina over the Falkland Islands, which was like this weird colonial war that they got involved in.
Yeah. She agreed to give Hong Kong back to China.
Yeah. She gave Hong Kong back to China. Was against the sanctions against South Africa to end apartheid. My theory, because she didn't care that apartheid was there.
Oh, she called Nelson Mandela famously a terrorist.
Yeah. And she was also a big supporter of Pinochet. Another actual terrorist who was busy disappearing people and other nonsense up in Chile while she was busy calling him a best friend. And that was something that the U.S. did as well.
Yes.
Pinochet was there by the good graces of the U.S. and Britain, basically.
Yeah.
We didn't have as strong a hand in his rule as we did in some of the military dictatorships in South America that we actually physically installed.
Sure.
But Los Chicago Boys, the Chicago Boys, basically set up the entire economic system under Pinochet. Privatized everything like they did in Britain, and everyone lost out. So that was awesome. And then everyone died too because they were disappearing people. In any case, Margaret Thatcher, I hope, like many of the people that are not living in peace because of her, I hope she doesn't rest in that much peace. She doesn't deserve it. But she did say something genius that I wish that Obama would take to heart.
Yeah, this is a
good
one.
Because if there was, she was effective. She was evil. She was putting together an agenda that I don't support, but she was doing it effectively.
Well, yeah,
here's
exactly
why. She wasn't compromising every fucking day about every nonsense thing.
She wasn't taking any shit from anybody, which was why people either, one of the, really ultimately the main reason, at least of her character, as to why people loved or hated her.
Yeah.
Because if you were on her side, then she was your fucking God and savior.
Yeah.
And if she was on the other side, then you probably, wanted to secretly kill her.
Yeah.
Or not secretly.
On the 10th anniversary of her time as prime minister, she said, if you just set out to be liked, you'd be prepared to compromise on anything at any time, and you'd achieve nothing, which is what Obama's up to right now.
Yes.
Here, take these Social Security cuts.
We're in, like, year six of that.
Year
right
six
now,
of just, like, nonstop compromise.
Yeah.
So that's a little advice from one evil person to a person who wants so much to be liked.
I know.
That I feel like
stop
really
caring.
Stop caring so much.
Yeah.
People are either going to like you or hate you.
Mm-hmm.
You could get a cool nickname like the Iron Lady. I mean...
He's certainly not going to ever be called the Iron Man.
No.
Well, also that's a comic
it's a movie
book.
Franchise.
It's a movie franchise.
Comic book. So
you wouldn't be called that anyway.
No.
But even if that was
the Metal Man.
He's not Man of Steel. That's Man Superman of also. So that
God, comic
be
books
it.
Have stolen all of the great nicknames.
They have.
Something hard. And Man. Not going to be his nickname.
Man, potentially.
Man.
Might be
we could call him something like the Wooden Man. Something that's breakable.
Uh-huh.
Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Something like whatever this apartment is made of.
Everything in it's falling apart.
Everything. Yeah. This is unrelated, but it's about my apartment.
That's fine. We've already talked about ice skating injuries and various other things. So
I made my own York peppermint patties yesterday.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
Too. I had the
I made them with real mint.
Real mint.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was so good.
I could not be more proud of myself for that. That's basically the defining achievement of my weekend.
Yeah.
I've done also not so much this weekend, but that really...
Well, I think we knew that you had not done very much when that became the defining moment of it.
The point is...
It was implied.
It was an important weekend because of that one thing that I did.
Yeah.
I recommend everyone trying it. Well, domestically, what we're talking about this week is gun control.
Right. Again. Which, we're going to have a gun control bill, which is not even a gun control bill at all, because it's
doesn't involve
ridiculous.
Anything also, that controls guns.
This is another one of those bills where I was like, I have to find the name of this so we can mention it, because it's one of those named bills that is just sort of
Could I become a professional bill namer? That seems like a job for a comedy writer.
Yeah, because it's called the Public Safety and Second Amendment Protection Act. It's background checks.
This bill does effectively protect the Second Amendment because it doesn't
do anything for gun control. I know. It's crazy.
It's not so great on the score of public safety.
No.
Unless you have very low public safety standards,
which the most obviously crazy
people don't have guns at gun shows, but can still buy them in private sales. Because the bill, which was proposed by Joe Manchin and Pat Toomey, which should tell you how effective it's going to be, would increase background checks in commercial sales and online and at gun shows, but would still allow private sales to go through without background checks.
Yes.
So basically, any person could purchase a gun at a gun show and then privately sell it to a person in the parking lot without a background check, and a crazy person has a gun.
Yeah.
Or your fucking crazy son could still just break into your cabinet and kill everyone.
Exactly. Yes.
So that's real effective. Surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the NRA not on board because they're against anything at this point. But the Citizens Committee for the Right to Bear Arms, which is the second biggest gun control or gun advocacy group in the nation, did support this bill because they probably recognize that it doesn't actually do anything.
Right. Well, it doesn't because this is the thing that I mean, I feel like, and this is why I would just prefer taking all guns away from everybody, because the thing is, and this is what a lot of people on the right are saying for the reason that they don't like this is because they were like, well, it's stupid to have background checks because criminals don't buy guns legally, which is right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just why we shouldn't have them, in my opinion. But, I mean, this isn't going to do anything. I mean, anybody who is buying a gun at one of these things is probably going to pass a background check to be able to get it anyway.
Yeah.
And then you give it to your crazy son, or somebody breaks in and steals it from your house. That's when people get shot up 20 at a time.
Conservatives that are against background checks going through miss the necessary next step to make they make a logical leap.
Yes.
Where, like, criminals will get guns anyway, and we can't do anything about it. And it's like, we could do something about that.
Yes, we could.
And then
we're not doing here.
They'll go on about the mental health system, but then they won't actually want to fund any mental health changes.
Right,
so
and we've talked about that before.
We've talked about that a lot. Yeah. So the whole debate is useless, and because of it, they're debating useless legislation. So that's going on. With that said, why don't people have to go through background checks at gun shows? Like, holy shit.
I know.
That's bonkers.
Well, and
just pass the fucking bill. And then move on to something
The
useful.
Thing that's going to be interesting is because it sounds like the Senate is going to pass it. They allowed it to go to debate by 68-31.
It's getting embarrassing
for them. So there was sort of a threat of a filibuster. But the problem, I think, where this bill is going to have, and I could give a flying fuck whether it passes or not, but it's going to have some real problems in the House.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to have to, again, throw the Hastert bill out, or the Hastert rule out the window, because the majority of the Republicans are not going to want to bring this to the fore for a vote.
No.
So it's going to have to be, again, John Boehner deciding whether he wants to bring it to a vote so the Democrats can help him. Like, we're going to have Speaker Pelosi step in yet again.
His new secret strategy, which he does for all bills that pass, is that he has Nancy Pelosi
pass them for him. Yeah.
Which,
and that's going to have to happen here, because there's no way a majority of Republicans in the House, of all places, are going to want to vote for this thing.
My only thinking is that this is a really easy way for them to get the Newtown families off their backs. The Newtown families have been all up and down Congress this week, like, making noise in the press, they're lobbying, they're doing all this stuff, and it's just like, every moment that the Newtown families are making press, the Republicans look worse, and if they can pass, like, a really simple bill that doesn't do anything at all, then they can be like, we stood up for gun safety. And, they can just sort of, like, get them off their backs. And the Newtown families probably don't know any better because they're not professional gun control activists. So they probably could be bought off with something dumb like this.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be. I hope they're not. I assume that at least some of them are sort of, like, aware that this is a cheap buy-off. But But that's the only that's the only thing that makes me think that maybe they could get this to the floor in the House, is that, like, it's just, it's like a really easy way for them to get all of those gun control advocates out of their hair for a while. And, like, this Newtown shooting is in the press, like, every day.
Yes.
Like, I am shocked with the staying power, because all of those other mass shootings have, like, gone off into Never Never Land.
Yep.
They had a reading, like, somewhere in Washington.
Oh, yeah, they read, like, all of the people who...
3,300 people that have been shot by guns since Newtown. Since Newtown. It took them 12 hours to read all the names. Like, this issue is not going away.
No.
But it probably would, because everyone's stupid, if they just passed a dumb gun control law that did nothing that anyone could necessarily...
Yeah. Well, and it's another thing that it would probably be smart for the Republicans to vote on, because then they can not only say that they did it, but just like they've done on so many other bills, taxes and things like that, they can say, well, now we've dealt with that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's like, if another bill comes up that's like, you know, an assault weapons ban, they can be like, oh, we voted on gun control already. But that's, we covered that.
It's done.
Which haven't with this bill.
No.
You haven't covered anything with this bill.
No, this bill hasn't. This is a bill that is roughly as effective as, like, taking a bath, like, in terms of gun control.
Right.
It's just sort of
this bill is akin to sitting in your own filth.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In any case, Marco Rubio is hoping that they can use this bill to see fewer background checks, because the NRA has this, like, reciprocity policy that where they want all 50 states to accept other states' concealed weapon permits, which of course is not a good idea, because every state has different requirements for getting a concealed weapon permit, and you can't carry a concealed weapon in New York State, so you can't have reciprocity because that's not allowed there.
I know. Yeah.
So this is a dumb thing, but basically he wants to make it so that people who want to carry concealed weapons can just carry them into any old state and not worry about it. Any old place. And that would basically make all of your local gun control laws that you've worked so hard to have in states like California and New York totally irrelevant, because then people from Florida, where any idiot child monkey can get a gun and shoot whoever they want with it, because they feel vaguely threatened.
Right, because they have
a standard ground law, can just carry their gun into your state and carry on being an idiot.
Yeah, Florida's just like a freaking death trap.
A cesspool.
Down there.
Yeah, there's sinkholes. There's fucking guns everywhere. There's alligators every which way. You get eaten by alligators in, like cheesy development houses up that back up to lakes, which every house does, because it's a swamp.
There's terrible snakes there, too.
There's snakes. There's spiders. There's a lot of weird birds. The last time that I was in Florida, I had a lot of run-ins with wildlife. And the thing is that there's no natural part of Florida. You're just in the suburbs. Like, you're in the sort of, like, it's like L.A. You're just in the sort of, like, general urban decaying, you know, nothing.
Shantytown. Like, that's what
On the bright side, my great aunt lives there, and she just called me and told me she saw a really good ballet in Orlando.
Oh,
she was like,
boy.
I didn't realize Orlando had it in them.
We're going to the ballet.
We're going to Alvin Ailey this week. This is amazing. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the great dance watching experiences of 2013.
I agree.
/ American history.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In any case, there are everyone's opposed to this bill for a different reason, which is odd. A Texas senator, John Corwin, or whatever his name is.
Cornyn.
That Y throws me every time.
Yeah.
I said it out loud to myself as I was reading the article, because I've mispronounced it every time that I've read it. In any case, he is against these background check laws because he finds them symbolic, but he's of the mental health issue school, which he's obviously also not voting for mental health legislation, so I don't know what he thinks he's up to. But he was making a good point, which is that this is symbolism over substance, and we can't just allow Newtown to be taken care of by some symbolic act of, like, fake gun control.
Right.
But he also was using as an excuse to not have any gun control.
I was going to say, I mean, he's a Republican from Texas. He's not trying to get
to get more gun control. Meanwhile, though,
everyone wants background checks.
Background checks are real popular.
In the world.
The only thing that's more popular than background checks is something that I feel very strongly about myself.
Right.
It's ice cream.
Ice cream.
Uh-huh. Ice cream is delicious.
But
and
background
it should be
checks
more
are more popular than kittens.
Kittens, which I don't like kittens. So
I
that's,
know.
Mm-hmm. But child labor laws.
Uh-huh. Baseball.
Baseball.
Well, baseball's terrible, too.
But it's the American pastime.
Yeah. But it was
apple pie.
It was interesting because
everyone
I was listening to Alex Wagner this week, and she was referencing this as just sort of like a reason for why there isn't sort of like outcry for people to tell people to vote for these background checks.
Right.
Just because when everybody is just sort of like, well, yeah, duh, of course we should
have
background checks.
Yeah, it's
like
so obvious.
There's no reason for you to call your senator and be like, I demand you pass these background checks.
Right.
Because it's just sort of one of those things where
no one's talking about it
because
it's so obvious.
You can't bring yourself to care because it's just so like much of a no-brainer that it's like, I mean, do you think you should see if somebody has a criminal background before you sell them? Well, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a thing that you think about. I mean, so obviously 90% of people agree with that because it's the other 10% have to be.
They are brain dead people.
Who are those people?
They're brain dead.
Yeah.
They don't have brains.
So
if you have a brain, then you have some ability to process common sense logic.
Right. Which background checks are. Which the thing about this bill is that I think people forget is we're sort of kind of vaguely expanding background checks. Because we have background checks.
Right.
Like, you have to have a background check in, you know,
If you go into a gun store and try to buy a gun, you have to have a background check. We're just sort of like, there's like this weird loophole.
Right.
Where you can go to a gun show and just walk out with a gun and no one says anything.
Yeah.
You know where one of the most dangerous places to go in the world is a gun show.
Gun show.
Because
people are getting shot left, right, and center over there.
My theory also is that this 10% might be criminals.
Might be.
Criminals and people that live in places where they don't ever interact with other people, like Montana.
Sure.
If you don't live near other people, you might not realize the danger that's posed by other people with guns.
Yeah.
You probably will realize when you accidentally shoot yourself in the foot, which is also more likely to happen if you have a gun. Because I am in no danger right now of shooting myself in the foot.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No,
and that's because I don't have my hands on a gun.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Meanwhile, it was only a matter of time before someone linked abortion and gun control in a really tasteless way.
Yes.
And fortunately, Steve Stockman from Texas, he's a congressman in Texas.
Yes. Unveiled a bumper sticker.
A doozy
of a bumper sticker.
Which is real genius. And also, I've been thinking a lot this week about how to make sense of this claim or this sort of like slogan.
Yeah.
And I'm like not there yet.
So no.
The slogan is, if babies had guns, they wouldn't be aborted.
Yeah.
Now, so many questions.
Yes.
Are you suggesting that babies would rather be in armed conflict with their mother than not be born?
Who are the babies shooting?
Yeah. Are the babies shooting the mother? Are they
shooting the abortion doctor?
Here's the thing. If you shoot the mother as a baby, you will die anyway.
Right.
So that's not a win.
You're aborting yourself.
So scientifically speaking, that's not a great strategy to go with.
No. Also, like, I don't really think, just as a general rule, women are really, you know, wanting, you know, firearms in their womb.
So true. Also, I don't think when you go to get an abortion that you're doing it because you're hoping to kill a baby.
Well, no.
Like, this is just sort of like, the baby is not trying to kill me?
I know. It's not, there's...
It's not like you have like a...
It's not malicious toward the baby.
It's not malicious to the baby.
You're like, not trying to get back at the baby for any sort of...
You might be... Well, if your baby had a gun and was trying to shoot you for trying to abort it.
That might be a reason to attempt to abort it.
Yeah. I feel
if like I knew
if I had a baby in my womb that had a gun and was gonna shoot
gun,
me, I might try a sneaky way to abort it, but I would try.
You'd want to.
Is the baby gonna suddenly not react to like some sort of, you know, one of those like miscarriage inducing drugs?
Yeah. Because
that's how you'd have to do it if your baby had a gun. You'd have to sneak attack them.
Yeah.
You would have to do it at home.
Oh, God.
We'd be back to the days of coat hanger abortions just to sneak attack your baby because it had a gun and wasn't willing to take any shit. Also, if you gave birth to this baby and then wanted to put it up for adoption, would anyone willingly accept a baby that had already threatened to shoot its mother in the womb?
No.
So many questions.
Mm-hmm.
Real... logical jumps being made here.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, Stockman is pretty much as crazy as it gets when it comes to being pro-gun.
Clearly,
He was going to impeach Obama at one point for like being himself or something.
Uh-huh.
Just sort of like because he had like a vague gun safety proposal.
Yeah.
Gun safety is a threat to the nation, as you might imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he's also another one, like, you know, we brought you a few weeks ago that New Hampshire controversy over the Stand Your Ground law.
Oh, right.
Where they were claiming that it was to protect women, and he also believes that gun control, or the guns, gun pro, everyone having guns, I don't even know what the word is for that, just like gun wildness.
Free-for-all.
Gun free-for-allness is mostly to protect women.
Sure.
It's women protecting themselves from rapists.
Yeah.
That's what gun owners are.
Yeah.
It's not men robbing people at gunpoint or shooting things accidentally or just being general dickwads.
Sure. I'm sure that's what the writers of the Second Amendment thought when they were writing that.
They were like, we need to make sure women aren't being raped. Yeah. They'll just have those giant shotguns that we have now.
Yeah.
It'll be bayonets.
Mm-hmm.
Muskets and bayonets, they'll be able to protect themselves from rapists better.
Mm-hmm.
They were always thinking ahead, those guys.
They were.
Real. Meanwhile, in Crazy Pants news.
Oh, this is good.
This is, like, the best story of the week.
Yeah.
First of all, there was sort of, like, a Nixonian-style taping of a meeting that Mitch McConnell had with his campaign staff.
Yes.
Where they were trying to figure out how they were going to deal with some of the people that are sort of peeking their heads up to think about challenging him.
This was before Ashley Judd had
dropped out.
Right, declared she wasn't running.
So, and they released a crazy statement about the tape being released, where they said something like, and this is Jesse Benton, who is Mitch McConnell's campaign manager, but is also Ron Paul's grandson by marriage.
Yes.
Says, "We've always said the left will stop at nothing to attack Senator McConnell, but Nixonian tactics to bug campaign headquarters is above and beyond."
Well, I think the sort of like...
They probably bugged themselves.
I think the most recent news out of this, which we don't have on here, but I'm almost certain, is that there were some campaign laws violated. Because
really?
I think it was taken by like... This person from like Progress, Kentucky, basically, who was supposedly... record it, which you can't do, but like, who fucking cares?
Well, the tape reveals that they're as despicable as you might think they were.
Correct.
They basically were trying to figure out what they were going to do when Ashley Judd stepped into the race so that they could destroy her immediately.
Yep.
And so they were going through, they had like sort of someone presenting like a file of information about Ashley Judd, which as they said, there's such a wealth of material. The material is all in really bad taste.
Really bad taste.
Because it's all sort of like, I mean, Ashley Judd is progressive, so like they could hit her on progressive issues, sure.
Right, which would probably be enough.
Which is enough. She supported Obama, she supported Obamacare, she's pro, you know, she's pro-choice, she's for gay marriage, she believes in science.
Oh, God.
You know.
That's enough.
She's, as they said, anti-coal. She's for clean energy,
could do
probably.
It too.
Know that anti-coal, I don't think she's walking around being anti-coal. I think she's...
She might be.
I mean, I don't
She wouldn't
know
be wrong.
No, exactly. I'm anti-coal. But, but they were looking for sneakier ways to get at her, and they basically settled on trying to make her sound like a crazy person.
Yeah, well, she had talked in her book, I think, about
she struggled
with depression. So they were literally trying to find ways to make her sound mentally unbalanced. I mean, they were finding quotes of hers where she had like talked about her depression.
Well,
they were finding quotes
candid.
Of hers where she sort of like talks about like when she had like, you know, I think there was a quote of hers that they read and all laughed about where she was like talks about like when she gets off a plane at an airport that she feels like she's going to have
a
breakdown.
Well, this was, and the quote is about like the sort of like culture shock and the kind of like sensory overload that you experience when you get out of a plane into an American airport after you've been abroad. And they were sort of like, they took that and sort of like, the quote itself actually has nothing to do with her being crazy.
Right.
Like, or with her talking about her struggles with depression even, but they decided to sort of like mush those two together. They talk about, you know, she said a lot of things about, she's, I think, a practicing Christian, but she's said things about how sort of traditional Christianity is very, you know, is very sort of like embedded with sort of like patriarchy and a lot of things that don't necessarily do women favors and sort of, you know, perpetuate the idea that men should be in control of everything. But they sort of like took that to mean that she hates Christians and, you know, like, they just sort of, like, took everything she's ever said, which is a lot because she's a public figure and she's just always talking, she's always harping on about nonsense, to the, it's practicable extreme.
Yeah.
There was some quote about how she says that having children is selfish, but she's going on about something else.
Right.
They really ran with that.
Yeah.
Called her critical of the American family or whatever.
Here's what I'll say about this, is that Mitch McConnell is awful.
Correct.
This confirms that. I don't doubt that this is not going on
in every single
campaign, Democrat, Republican,
it would have to be.
Anywhere. You do Oppo research. You try and find what, and
it's,
who's to say whether they were even going to run on any of these things?
No,
they,
of
and
course.
They may have. This is just sort of someone presenting them this evidence, and had they tried to make her seem crazy, then that would have been pretty despicable.
I think that
we don't know whether they would have
their
done that. She's
tone
not running, so we'll
in the
never
meeting
know.
Is what's because it's all on tape.
Yes.
You can listen to the tape.
Yeah,
it's
and
the tone of the meeting
about it
that is a little bit weird.
Yes,
because like, yeah, like I think it would be legitimate to portray her as a carpetbagger.
Sure, she doesn't live in Kentucky.
She doesn't live in Kentucky.
Yeah.
It would be legitimate to portray her as, you know, anti-gun, pro-choice, you know,
right.
in favor
she
of gay
is
marriage.
All
she's
of
all
things.
Of those things, and she's a carpetbagger.
Right.
That's fair. When you start making jokes about her sort of, like, struggles with depression, and everyone's sort of, like, laughing along and purposely misinterpreting quotes that are sort of, like, her just sort of thinking about the nature of things.
Right.
That, like, the whole sort of, like, tape is sort of nasty.
It's nasty. Exactly.
Which is, I think, what they're... I'm sure these meetings are going on. I'm sure that there are nasty things that get said in these meetings.
Yeah.
But the sort of tone of the nastiness, I think, is probably...
Yeah.
Different well, in different types
and
of
you
campaigns.
And you would sort of hope, and again, I'm not saying that there is necessarily anyone who I would think that would do this, but you would hope that the response from someone who is, you know, the leader of the Senate, basically,
right.
Senate Republicans, yeah. that his response would be, we're not going to go there.
Yeah, that's, and
you
he
know,
stays
like,
quiet.
That's
the
what,
whole, he basically
he says,
just
you know, you
sits
would,
and listens.
You would think that someone would present to him that we're going to make her seem like a depressed lunatic, that he would be like,
yeah,
maybe
they,
not.
They say in the thing, like, we're going to portray her as mentally unstable.
Right.
Like, that's maybe a time when you're like, you know what?
Let's just make her sound like a progressive.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't we just run on the fact that Kentucky is not a progressive state
right.
and she's progressive.
Right.
Like, there's enough there.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so this has been like this sort of like hilarious ongoing controversy. They have, you know, a bunch of court actions going on.
Right.
To figure
McConnell's
out where
working
the
with the FBI
yeah.
and there's all sorts of,
I know my favorite quote in that article was about how Mitch McConnell is working with the FBI. I just love yes. the idea of Mitch McConnell and the FBI in
yeah.
there investigating together.
Yeah.
Like what? No. Also, we're hearing some news on the Gang of Eight's immigration proposal.
The immigration bill is
which turns, it's,
supposedly
it's like
getting
the
closer.
It's like a gun control bill, though. It's like a bill where it sounds like not much is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's,
well,
there's going to be a path to citizenship, or a path to a green card. It's going to be the most complicated, difficult to navigate path in the history
right.
of paths.
Yeah.
And it's going to basically require that you don't receive any federal benefits
right.
before...
Mm-hmm. And
which,
Rubio was out there talking about this today as
yeah.
sort of a pro, basically.
This is
I mean,
a terrible
he's defending
idea
the bill. But
who pays the bill when people who are undocumented don't have health care and go to the hospital?
We do.
Like taxpayers.
Yep.
So why not
like give them Obamacare?
Obamacare. Yeah. Like all of these things that we're not going to give them are things that we end up
paying for
in the end.
Correct.
So it's crazy. Like, we should be asking everyone to take Obamacare. It
no.
literally gets cheaper the more people that do it. Like,
yes.
It's just like,
and it's insurance.
It's
I mean,
insurance.
So your insurance comes down when more people are paying into it.
Exactly. Pooled risk is pooled risk.
Yes.
As
it's math.
It's math.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't know that their strategy is all that genius.
No.
But it's basically going to be even more difficult than it would normally be to get a
yeah.
green card at this point.
Yeah.
So we're making it worse. Probably.
And they're going to have to stay in that status
for 10 years.
It's a long time.
10 years of no health care, like no welfare, no food stamps, none of the things that a person who can't get an actual job might need.
Right.
And frankly, that probably is going to make it impossible for them to get educations and other things that would
yep.
allow you to sort of transcend your undocumented status. Like there's just like, it's not great policy.
No.
At work.
Yeah.
Other not great policy.
Ugh.
Freaking Equal Pay Act is just like a giant bungled mess.
The Republicans killed it in the House this week.
Like, holy moly.
The Democrats at least made them kill it.
Yeah.
Through things that I don't understand.
There was some like procedural move that sounded very complicated where they like, it sounded like they sort of like declare some sort of like emergency and then everyone has to vote all of a
yeah,
sudden.
Yeah, it was unclear because
it's like a fire drill.
Because the House leadership, the Republicans, said that they weren't going to bring it up.
Right.
And then Rosa DeLauro basically filed what's called a discharge petition. And then there was also some thing called a previous question.
Like
what is that?
Are all these
I don't know. There's all of these things, but basically they
forced
whatever they forced a vote. Which the Republicans
put people on
voted
the
against.
Yeah.
So the Republicans
so now,
do not want women to make the same
amount
of money
as men
do. Shocker.
Which is not... at least they're honest about that.
That's true.
That's it's
not
nice,
trying to hide it.
They're not trying to hide that. Their hatred of women is pretty well documented.
Yes. By us.
yeah. And Virginia Fox said that that forcing them to vote on the bill was a, quote, liberal plot to perpetuate the narrative that Republicans are anti-women.
It was. That's exactly what it was.
As the opposition, that's exactly what you would plan to do in a political setting. So she's correct. And also, that's what their plan was all along.
Right.
So, yes.
I mean, actually, their plan was to get it passed.
Well, their plan was to get it passed.
So
that plan is not possible in this house.
So, let's...
I'm just like... How is that plan not possible in any house?
It's so crazy.
In a house full of any babies, conservative adult, gun-toting men, like, how is this just like, because this isn't like a law that costs anything.
No.
It doesn't like do anything that's not like obviously a good idea.
I'm sure it's probably somehow like vaguely anti-business or like, I mean, there's, who knows what they're spouting.
It's discriminating sort of, like, against businesses because it's forcing them to pay women the same amount as they pay men. It's costing them money.
Yeah. They'd have to fire people.
Yeah, they would have to fire women.
They'd have to
women.
Fire men.
They'd have to fire...
It'd be more tragic if they had to fire men. Yeah.
But yeah, so this bill, still limping along. Women, still not treated equally.
Yeah.
It's just like a never-ending shitstorm of being women. Which, I feel like the hands of time are like somehow turning back. Because we're seeing all these very restrictive abortion laws suddenly coming through. It's like very trendy right now to hate women.
Yeah.
And that last election... if nothing else, showed that Republicans both hate women and don't know how to talk about the issue without sounding like
it. And it doesn't get you anywhere to do so.
No, it's a terrible idea because women, much as this may annoy them, have the right to vote.
Yeah.
And
they do.
All people are related to women. There's no one out there who's not related to a woman.
Right.
So if you don't believe that women have equal rights, you also hate your mother, your sisters, and your children.
Uh-huh.
You hate your wife.
Yep.
But it's like, how much more of women being property is necessary anymore?
Know.
Nobody knows. It's
Nobody
crazy.
Knows. Yeah.
Anyway, I just feel like every week we're bringing up something that's like a weird thing that like came out of left field. Like this is out of left field.
Yeah.
Like why shouldn't women make the same amount as men?
Who
knows? Get the same amount of votes as men. They get more votes because there's more of them.
More of them.
Keep that in mind, friends.
Lila just pointed at the microphone.
I pointed at the microphone. I thought it was important that you really think about this.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You can mentally feel my pointing, I'm sure.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren just continues to be a goddess among humans.
Brent sent me an IM this week that basically asked how she could possibly be so perfect.
It's sort of, under normal circumstances, someone who is her level of awesome would... had the potential to annoy me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she is just, like, she's perfection.
Yeah, she's just out there doing everything right.
Everything about her is perfect. Every single time I see a link about her, the link is always, like, Elizabeth Warren schools someone, which sort of makes it genius. But you have to watch everything that she does.
I've watched 14-minute videos of, like, procedural votes in, like, nonsense.
And committee meetings. I've watched more committee meetings in the last, since she was...
Elected
than I have ever in my entire life because I watch every single one that she's involved with.
Those are boring.
It's amazing that anyone decides to show up to them as someone who would have to testify because you would not want to.
No. It's boring to watch and it's boring to participate in.
Yeah.
It's boring at every level unless Elizabeth Warren is there and then I could literally sit and just watch endlessly.
Yep. But basically this week what happened was there was another banking committee hearing, which she's on.
They are going to regret ever putting her on that. I mean, they're not, but the Democrats aren't, but the Republicans are going to do everything they can to get her off that committee.
They sure are. But basically, she was asking these bankers, because we've now sort of identified that all of these banks sort of like issued, you know,
bad mortgages,
and we figured this out, and we have figured out, the banks have figured out who the bad mortgages were given to.
Right.
But they're not...
They won't tell us.
They're not telling...
They won't reveal the info.
They're not even telling the homeowners.
Yeah.
And she was asking them if they're going to tell the homeowners, and they're like, well, we don't really know. We might not.
Yeah.
So basically, they've established who they fucked, and...
They have a list.
They have no intention of telling them.
Yeah.
But the banks know.
Yeah.
And so basically what she was just sort of like, her quote was, she said, families get pennies on the dollar in the settlement for having been the victim of illegal activities or mistakes in the bank's activities. You now know individual cases where the banks violated the law and you're not going to tell the homeowners, or at least it's not clear if you're going to do that. And they all responded with no.
Yeah.
And she was just sort of like really indignant about it.
Like a person should be. Yeah.
But
she's it's like genius because she's like really... asking questions that are very simple, common sense questions that are so simple that senators never ask them because they're all in on the secret.
Right, exactly.
You know, usually at a committee meeting, everyone's in on the secret.
That's why every single thing that she does, like, you want to watch, because it ends up just being completely dumbfounding.
Yeah. And it's like, it's all understandable. She's asking real questions. She's not asking complicated, convoluted questions about nonsense as a way of making it look like people were questioned when they weren't actually asked the most obvious questions. She's asking, like, simple, obvious questions that we've all sort of, like, thought about. Because, like, isn't that something that you've thought about? Like, isn't that, like, the idea that banks are giving bad mortgages to people and, like, not telling them? Isn't the idea that they would do that and know who those people were? Like, isn't that just, like, something you would be like, well, why wouldn't, like... How could they not be telling people? She asks. No one else would have asked.
I know. Exactly.
That topic wouldn't have even come up.
But she sort of has that reputation as being that... I mean, yes, she is sort of like a progressive and she's sort of like a liberal, you know, firebrand, if you will. But, I mean, she sort of has a reputation of being someone who is clear-spoken.
She's thoughtful.
And also, she's thoughtful and thoughtful in a way that she doesn't necessarily... I mean, she's sort of tearing down bankers, but she doesn't tear... other people down in the sense that, like, she is unreasonable in her sort of, like, dealings with how she intends to get things
done. I mean, you know, I said this a lot during the campaign, but I used to write for a business magazine in Arizona, and I did an article where I had to talk to a bunch of bankers in Arizona, and the head of the, like, small, the coalition of small banks or whatever in Arizona had met with her back when she was maybe going to be head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and he said that, you know, they didn't agree on a lot of basic issues, but she was very thoughtful. She considered what they said. Like, they didn't walk away with a bad feeling about her because they felt like they could work with her. Like, she was listening and understood basic issues, and her concerns were about protecting the consumer, but, like, they weren't necessarily, like, you know, complicated, you know, nonsense that she was just using to, like, actually protect some other entity. Like, she was just sort of, like... On the face of it, she was clear about her position. They felt like they could be clear about their positions with her. Like, she was someone you could compromise with and you could work with.
Yeah.
Which is what she's up to here.
Yeah.
She's like, I mean.
She's a dream.
She better be president.
I know.
She's like a dream among dreams.
And my dad posted this, of course, because he posts everything that anybody ever has posted.
The entire internet has been posted.
Yeah. And he's made some comment about, like, she should have, I don't know, McConnell's job or somebody in power's job or something. And I was like, or Obama's job.
Right.
Because
your dad, meanwhile, has been posting pro-Hillary stuff.
I know.
He posted a Ready for Hillary photo the other day.
He was like, sign a petition if you want Hillary as the president. And I was like, first off, where did that come from?
Right.
Second off, he caucused for Joe Biden in 2008. Yeah, and that I put on his Facebook. I was like, what happens if Joe runs? Like, I don't know.
It's confusing.
He's not, bless his heart, he's not really thinking about what he's posting on Facebook.
No, well...
There's not really any discernment going on.
Anyway, back to the issues at hand.
Yeah.
Speaking of carpetbaggers, as we were talking about earlier...
Yeah, and Elizabeth Warren.
Speaking of Elizabeth Warren, this is the ultimate... This is the story that ties everything together thematically in the podcast. Scott Brown is talking about running for Senate in New Hampshire now.
Yeah.
Is he just, like, making his way around New England?
I guess.
Like, well, Massachusetts is
over me.
I guess
his mother lives there or something like that. Or I think a lot of generations have apparently lived there. So it's not, like, a total stretch. It's not, you know, it's not Hillary Clinton being a senator
New York.
From New York.
Lord.
But,
The thing is, though, I feel like once you've represented one state in the Senate, you're sort of locked in. I don't feel like you can just be moving from any state to any state that you want. Just, like, deciding to run wherever there's a seat open.
Yeah. It's still so very curious to me why he's just not running for the seat in Massachusetts.
I know. It's.
I don't get it. I think that he would probably win. I don't...
I think that maybe they determined that he would not.
Maybe they did.
I mean...
He seems like a solid New Hampshire choice.
He seems like a very solid... Republicans are all the rage there. They currently have... Though an entirely female...
He'd be the only male.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's not necessarily a place for a man to go run. But but I think that with Elizabeth Warren's election, Massachusetts is sort of like...
They finally get their heads right.
Maybe. Or maybe it just seemed too risky because he'd already been the loser in the exact same race once.
Maybe. Right.
Because it's sort of
it's
like...
It's not
once
the
you've
exact
lost,
same race,
No, but like
though,
once you've
like...
lost the same position... That you
That's
are
true.
Running, like, are you just going to keep running for Senate forever and losing and then winning and then losing? Like, you can't just be, like, switching off Senate seats this way.
That's true. He probably figures that if he can win this Senate seat in New Hampshire, similar to what we've said about Elizabeth Warren potentially having the, you know,
he could just hang out there.
He could hang out there, yeah, because we have said, unless she decides to be president, Elizabeth Warren could die a senator, yeah, from Massachusetts, because, yeah, she could. And he could potentially do the same in New Hampshire if they decide that they like him. But he is sort of like the kind of person that you would see getting elected at least multiple times in New Hampshire.
I think that he's not – he's a moderate Republican, but he's not like – they're like libertarians out there.
Yeah.
They're a very specific kind of Republican that's very unique to New Hampshire. And maybe he has like a good understanding of what that means.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know that from his time in the Senate for Massachusetts that I necessarily got that feeling from him. They're like bonkers in New Hampshire.
That's true.
It's a unique brand of crazy.
Yeah.
It's a state where people are willing to live without road signs. They're willing to die in motorcycle accidents just because they're not wearing helmets.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling firecrackers to everyone from every state nearby.
Mm-hmm.
They're up to a lot of random shit there.
Yeah.
So I feel like he'd have to really get into the living free or die mindset.
He would.
Which is a risk. There's a risk of death involved. So in any case.
It's half of the slogan.
It's half the slogan.
it's only two choices.
You either live free or die.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dying going on because of their free life choices over there.
It's a good slogan. It's appropriate.
It encompasses the before and after. It's really a cause and effect sequence that everyone eventually succumbs to, I'm sure.
That's true.
There's no transition here.
No.
I was going to say it's being a cause and effect.
I was going to wait to see what you were saying because you looked like you were about to, but then you sort of stopped and then...
I was going to say speaking of cause and effect, and then I was like, that's stupid. I mean, that's just sort of like, that's stretching.
Sure.
Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
Profiled in the New York Times Magazine.
Yeah.
I read the whole article the moment that I saw it online, because I was fascinated. And as everyone knows, I'm a huge Anthony Weiner fan.
Yeah.
And Huma Abedin is interviewed in it and sort of talks in depth about kind of like what her thought process was during the whole Weinergate scandal.
Right. Well, she didn't want him to quit.
She didn't want him to quit. And I guess
we didn't want him to quit.
Nope. No one in America wanted him to quit except himself and Andrew Breitbart.
Right.
Who's now dead. So that doesn't even count.
Right.
But Anthony Weiner has been sort of dipping his toe back in and is sort of like deciding whether to run for mayor. He was sort of like a shoo-in for the mayoral race before the scandal broke.
Right.
Everyone sort of thought that was his next step.
Yeah.
I certainly hope that that was his next step because Christine Quinn is a something bad. I was going to say something mean, and then I was like, I should just say, my mom always gets mad when I curse on the podcast.
Oh,
I curse in the first 5 minutes of the podcast already, but,
yeah,
but
she Christine mad when Quinn, I curse on the podcast.
Well, she just thinks that she, for some reason,
too much, just in general, too much.
She thinks that no one should be cursing on any podcast.
Right.
And I was trying to explain that, like, we're not on a radio show. So, like, it doesn't matter if we curse.
We should be.
We should be, radio people, if you're listening.
We both pointed at the microphone that time.
It helps people listen, I think.
Yeah.
In any case, Anthony Weiner was sort of considered to be on this track already. Christine Quinn is not well-liked because she helped Bloomberg get a third term.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, people, whatever you say about whatever else they're up to in New York, they like term limits. They never overturn term limits.
I think people in general usually like term limits.
Everybody likes term limits. That's a thing everyone can agree on. Mm-hmm. They're always putting propositions on the ballot to try to get rid of term limits. No one wants to do it. Term limits are great. Everyone loves them.
Yeah.
So, in any case, I think that Christine Quinn sort of has a real liability in that she did this, and she did it all basically to get Bloomberg support for her own mayoral run. And I don't know that that's going to do her so many favors when she's faced with an actual Democrat. In any case, Anthony Weiner has been sort of thinking about running, but they're finding that, like, people would maybe vote for him, but they really haven't forgiven him, and they wouldn't necessarily vote for him if there was another choice.
Yeah.
So they're not really sure. But he's basically been like, wandering around as a stay-at-home dad. He's, like, talking to people in the park. He's, like, going to get bagels. He's, like, doing all of the things that, like, an unemployed stay-at-home person does. Huma Abedin is now working out of home, too. They're probably driving each other crazy.
Probably.
But she was working for Hillary Clinton at the time that this scandal broke and apparently had some, like, long heart-to-hearts with Hillary about what to do in the situation, which if there was anyone that would have advice about that, that would be
Hillary
Clinton.
Well, the Clintons were not happy about this, either.
No. Yeah. The Clintons were not. But I think Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner were sort of, I think, trying to poise themselves to be the kind of power couple, not necessarily as publicly as the Clintons were that kind of power couple, yeah. but they were a very powerful power couple
right.
Who had the potential to be kind of like even more powerful.
Yeah.
Because like Huma Abedin is very well-spoken. She's very worldly. She's beautiful. Like she's got all, she's sort of like someone who could become a person in the public eye.
Yeah.
And Anthony Weiner is like real unpredictable and crazy, which is what I love about him.
Yeah.
He's also a sleaze. If anyone who's ever met him knows he's a sleaze. The Wienergate did not come as a shock to any no. person who had ever met Anthony Weiner.
But the thing is, you know, there was
but
an article.
Also, I don't care.
There was an article in Politico sort of that was comparing this to the Mark Sanford
yeah.
comeback that he's having because he's, you know, potentially going to be in win the House seat in South yeah. Carolina. And, you know, he lied.
Yeah.
Up and down about, I mean, he about said he was
about where he was.
About where he was.
Not like
and
just,
he was off sleeping with his
mistress. Yeah,
Anthony Weiner had a sexless scandal.
Dick picture.
It was big news
Twitter.
Because there was a picture and it involved Twitter. So it was crazy.
Right.
And then there were like sort of like really insane text messages. There was no sex. There was
right.
no sort of like actual physical cheating on Huma Abedin.
And he never lied about where he was as an elected official.
So. Granted,
the
one difference is Mark Sanford was
picture.
Like 5 or 6 years ago that happened, and Anthony Weiner's thing happened sort of like 2 years ago. So
yeah.
it could potentially be like on the sooner side of
also,
things. But like, there's no reason that, I mean, Anthony Weiner's scandal, at least to me, is much less of a scandal
a
than the Mark Sanford scandal was. Because that was like,
here's the thing.
That was cheating on his wife. That was lying
yeah.
to like the entire state about where he was. He fucking disappeared. He
yeah.
was the governor and he disappeared.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
That's something.
I think that Anthony Weiner is sort of pursuing, or I guess this is what everyone's saying, is that he's pursuing the strategy of just sort of like being as honest and candid as possible and hoping that the whole thing blows over. I think it will.
I think it will.
The only reason it was so interesting in the first place was because his last name is Weiner.
I know.
It was just like a comically
There were puns to be made.
Yeah, there was like nonstop punning abilities.
Yeah.
So of course it got a lot of press coverage, but like.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's had to live his entire life with the last name Weiner. Like, he can ride out some stupid
right.
dick
twit
jokes
pick.
On a
yeah.
twit pics, you know, something.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
like, I feel like it might be a little soon for this mayoral cycle.
Yeah.
I sort of hope that he jumps in just to challenge Christine Quinn a little bit. He's the only person right now who really would have enough publicity to do that. Because he has, like, a war chest. He has the money to do it. He would be one of the best-funded people in the campaign. And he may not win, but... Everyone, like, Christine Quinn is, like, an institution at this point.
Mm.
She's the Speaker of the City Council. She's got Bloomberg in her pocket, or she hopes she has Bloomberg in her pocket. And she sort of, like, has this sort of, like, working class appeal, but she's also kind of, like, got her foot into all of these other politics. She's got a massive donor pool. She's got all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But she's not really that well-liked by her own constituents, so there's always room when that I mean, this is what happens in New York. There's always room for a Republican to step in. Who's kind of a moderate Republican, and there's a lot of rich people who live in the city right now who
yeah.
are looking for a moderate Republican,
yeah.
and they'll vote for him over her because she didn't, you know, because she did this one sort of, like, apolitical, unpopular thing that was all about advancing her own career.
Right.
Whereas I think Anthony Weiner could, like, really give a voice to some, like, progressive dissatisfaction in a way that people might get up in
yeah.
arms about.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I love when he gets up in arms.
mm-hmm.
At least give him a TV show. Why doesn't he have a TV show yet?
I don't know.
Elliot Spitzer has a TV show.
I know.
Or had it. Does he still have it?
I don't know. It was on Current.
It was on Current, so it's probably gone.
Yeah.
No one knows. Anyway.
Oh, gosh. Another thing that people are up in arms about, at least in Louisiana
yeah.
Baggy pants.
Baggy pants.
They banned
Real
them.
Epidemic.
Yep.
A lot of problems.
Yeah.
People just...
Gonna fine you.
Yeah.
$50 first offense, $100 second
yeah.
offense.
It's an expensive one.
Yeah.
That's like... I mean, for an offense that really has no impact at all on public safety, it's not
yeah.
like they're even spitting gum into the subway or anything.
Right. Who decides what is
baggy? I know. And here's the question. Is there a way to combat this by wearing very tight pants? There's no law against that.
No.
If there were men wearing uncomfortably tight pants,
I mean,
that might
sometimes,
be uncomfortable for people in Louisiana, though.
They're
not
be.
Walking around in skinny jeans in Louisiana. That's not what they're talking about.
I wouldn't be able to walk around in some of my wardrobe in Louisiana.
No, exactly.
I wouldn't want to.
Well, in New Orleans, you might.
New Orleans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I feel like there is an opportunity for some group like Improv Everywhere, some of that kind of group, to just sort of descend on Louisiana in very
that.
Skinny jeans.
I like that.
Like, Meggings, as as I've learned they're called.
Oh, really? Interesting. I did
meggings.
Not know that.
Male leggings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Gross name, but also
It
would be
upsetting.
Very effective in this strategy, in this circumstance.
Yeah. Final story.
Holy.
This is a good one.
This is a great story. Steve Cohen, who's a congressman, who's...
Democrat.
Yeah. I don't even, like...
He has an apparent obsession with Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
And took to Twitter about it this week and immediately pulled this tweet down. But it was a doozy. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, there's no spaces between any of the sentences, so that's a hilarious thing. This is what he says. Great night. I guess he went to see her.
And he tweeted this to Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah,
this
to
is
her.
To at Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, to at Cyndi Lauper. Great night. Couldn't believe how hot you were. See you next Tuesday. Try a little tenderness.
Which was the song she sang.
Right.
I guess that she was singing it like some sort of like
she was
blues
like,
night or something that was,
like a White House event.
A White House event. Yeah, exactly. She sang Try a Little Tenderness. It was like honoring like music from Memphis or something or Motown or I don't know.
He went onto the house floor and gave her a shout out there too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was like losing his shit about Cyndi Lauper.
He said, he actually said shout out too. He said, I want to put a particular shout out to Miss Cyndi Lauper because she's special. And then he added that she sang Try a Little Tenderness and she gave a phenomenal performance.
He wasted taxpayer dollars congratulating Cyndi Lauper on a performance from the house floor. We paid him to do that. He was being paid by us while he did that.
Yeah.
And the entire house that was assembled was also paid by us to sit there and listen to him congratulate Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they can't pass a fucking Paycheck Fairness Act or a gun control law.
No.
America.
I do agree with his obsession with Cyndi Lauper, though.
Sure. Sure. And Twitter is a great place to take those kinds of obsessions. I don't know that as a congressman I would say that she was hot.
She was hot. I know.
And also it's weird because he says hot you, like letter U, where it's like a teeny bopper wrote it.
Yeah.
There's a baby crying. Let me tell you, the baby situation in this building is out of control.
Upset.
There's now babies on both sides of my apartment.
Uh-huh.
They are crying all night long.
Mm-hmm.
They are some of the most cry-happy babies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't even know
not good.
What to do about that, but it's a disaster. In any case, that's the news
that's
of the week.
We'll, hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Hopefully our microphone experiments were successful.
Yeah.
But either way, happy Monday, Sunday week.
Tax day.
Yeah. I did that once ago.
Yeah, no.
You probably never did it. You probably still owe taxes from last year.
Something like that.
Anyway, see you next week.
Bye.